Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving, speaking to his people in the heart. That's where he talks to us, and he loves us so much. He cares about us in every way and in every capacity. He wants our life to be successful just like his. He wants us to live just like him, and he set us up to enjoy life just like he does. Not only that, through him, we can do what he does. And the way that he loves, we can love. And it's everything of God is accessed by our faith. If you believe God, you can do it. If you don't believe God, you cannot do it. Or not like him. We're made in his image. And learning to live in his kingdom, obedience is one of the first things that we must attach ourselves to. And obedience don't work unless you have trust. Not just faith, but trust. Trust gives you the ability to believe God when you really don't understand. But faith gives you the believe God whenever you can take him at face value. But the Lord can reveal something that's so new to your mind. It goes against all the grain of your culture that you're used to. And to enter into those glories, you must trust him. And that's the way of the Lord. That's how it works. When you don't know, when you're delving into a new glory that you have no, there's nothing about it that's familiar to you. What takes you there is your trust in the Lord. The Lord told me that trust would be a heavy part of my ministry. And he tested me, and I obeyed him. And then he said, "You did it." I did what, Lord? You did what I told you to. And I still didn't understand. He said, "You obeyed me, though you didn't understand." And that's going to be a requirement for, it became a requirement, or it was a requirement for what he gave me to do. See, I have to do things by assignment. I don't just go and do something out of my mind. I only do what God sanctioned me to do. And I do it when he sanctioned me to do it. And he explained it to me. I understand it. I understand it better as time goes forward. And I really, to be honest with you, I couldn't see. Sometimes I felt useless. He was giving me information, and I talk about that sometimes. He continually taught me since 1990. Continually. All those years. But the revelation that he was giving me, I wasn't giving people because it wasn't time yet. He waited till I began to give it in 2016 in these broadcasts. And I'm still getting new information all the time. Because God is up to something. See, he reveals God spoke to the Jews that were rebellious. He spoke to them in parables, trying to wake up their senses. See, we only receive what we're hungry for. And he tried to whet their appetite with parables. Anybody that's attracted to life would listen, and it worked. Some people came out of darkness because of those parables. Not only in their generation, but every generation since. See, the parables, it helped wake you up. But the apostles, they were disciples, and they would, when they asked him to explain it, then he'd do it. Yes, he revealed his secrets to the babes, to those that just love him. When his disciples asked the interpretation of the parable, especially the parable of the sower, and Jesus said, if you don't understand this parable, how will you understand all parables? So the interpretation applies to all parables. Nevertheless, he gave them the he explained the parables to them when they asked. And see, the Lord revealed things to babes, people that want to know, people that hunger and thirst after righteousness. They are the ones that can receive help from God. They are the ones who can get the Lord can help them make all the necessary adjustments that need to be made throughout their lives. as they trust him. So before you can obey him good, you can obey him when you believe him. But then when it's out of your paradigm, so to speak, or some things are just not in your thinking process, that's when you have to trust him. And he can take you to the next glory. And the one thing that I've realized is that people who don't trust him don't learn. You see, failure to trust God causes a stopping point in your life. It's very important to trust him, to take him at his word, to go that next step. The stopping points that people suffer, and they don't realize it now. And again, I'm not blaming anybody. If you go forward, when God gives you something to do, and you meet it with faith, and you know when you take God at face value, you believe him. When you act on it, believing God turns into faith. When God gives you something that's new to you, he's preparing you to enter into a greater glory, another aspect of your ministry, so to speak. A new understanding to you. Many times he'll give you instructions and protocols. When this happens for you, God is not trying to subtract something from you. He's not trying to take something away. There's so many misunderstandings that cause people not to go that next step. Now, I have a prime example in Luke, the book of Luke. And when the Lord gives you something to do, if you go forward, things are going to happen that should happen. And things are going to take place that normally wouldn't take place. A lot of times people miss out and they misunderstand what God is attempting to do. And this has happened throughout history also. And, you know, When the Lord tells people to do something, if you trust him, you find out what happens next. This is what happened with Peter. Peter was fishing, and Jesus said he preached on, and Peter heard him preach. Peter let Jesus use his boat to preach from. And Jesus said, launch out into the deep for a great haul, a great catch. Let down your nets. And Peter reluctantly, well, that's your word, I'll do this. He let down one net, not all of them now. And then the nets began to break and his friends came to help him. And then Peter said, get away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. But he began to follow Jesus. And when he didn't understand, he didn't care. He followed Jesus. When Jesus said, Jesus had fed the 5,000 and they tried to make a king out of him. I'm just referring to scripture. This is in there. And he said, and Jesus came to the point. He said, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have nothing to do with me. So most of his disciples left. And he turned to his disciples and said, will you also leave? Peter said, we have nowhere to go. Nobody has the words of life like you do. Trust had been developed. The disciples didn't understand those statements no more than anybody else, because right after that, when Jesus said, who do men say that I am? Peter said, you are the Christ. You are the Son of God. And you know the story. Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but the Father did. Then he said, on this rock I build my church. And the gates of hell can't prevail against it. And then Peter, this proves he didn't understand what happened at the separation when people left because Jesus said, If you don't drink my blood and eat my flesh, you have nothing to do with me. This proves that Peter didn't know. Jesus talked about how he must go and suffer many things of the Pharisees, be put to death. You know the story. Matthew 16, right after Peter made his famous statement that you are the Son of God. Jesus said, upon this rock I build my church. The gates of hell won't prevail against you. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loose in heaven. And our hero Peter, after Jesus talked about his death, he said, far be it from you, Lord. Not so. I'm just paraphrasing. I didn't go to the scripture on this one yet. But Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan, for you are an offense to me. But what happened to Peter? He received correction. His understanding was still not perfect. When they ate the Passover, Jesus washed their feet. Jesus prepared to wash his feet. No, Lord, you don't need to wash my feet. Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you have nothing to do with me. Not only my feet, but my hands and my head also. In the end, Jesus talked about his passion again. And here goes Peter. Lord, I'll give my life for you, Jesus said, before the cock crows three times, you will deny me. Before the cock crows, you will deny me thrice, three times. You know, when you paraphrase in scriptures, you don't always say it perfectly, but you know the story and it happened. Again, Peter always made the adjustment. Even when it happened, he went back to trusting God. Jesus told him, Satan has desired to have you, Peter, and sift your mind is weak, but I pray for you. And when you're strengthened, strengthen your brother. This is where trust goes. It takes you beyond the stretch of your knowledge, the stretch of your ability to believe. It goes beyond what you think and what you can ever ask or think. It goes beyond all that. When you trust God, it goes beyond those things. It goes beyond your imagination. It makes whatever you can imagine highly possible, as long as it's in the confines of God's word. Peter he made it to the point on the day of Pentecost. He was able to say, this is that. Talking about what the prophet Joel talked about. And he was able to bless many people because he believed God. He trusted him. When he didn't understand, when he obviously did not understand, he didn't understand until he said, this is that. Until the Holy Ghost came upon him. That's when he understood what Jesus was getting to. See, when people trust the Lord can do something. He can take you far beyond where you would normally go on your own. And this happens to so many people. And good people, they go so far and they get to that stopping point. I like to go beyond the stopping point. Trust will take you there. Your dedication and hunger for the Lord will cause you to go beyond where you would normally stop. See, Christians love God and their love is sincere. But see, wherever you stop, you can't learn beyond that point in the things that God would have shown you if you had trusted Him. A lot of people, this happens to so many people. And they mean well. They do great miracles, and the Lord prepared them. They still have years within their ministry to happen, and they still have training time. They got to a certain point, and the Lord give them an instruction, and all of a sudden they don't want to go forward. The Lord tried to get their attention. He can't get their attention. I've seen this, witnessed it too many times. And they stop. They get to that stopping point, and that's where they live. That's where they camp. That's where they reside. That's where they dwell. Now, all the time, I know full well that if they would have just took the Lord at his word, he would have taken them forward, and they would have been able to do things that nobody in their mind would have believed could happen. But there are people who break through. God always, my friend, has a remnant of people that break through. Not only that, I've seen it. Some people break through. And wherever some people, their stopping point is far beyond the stopping point of others. And some people just, they do, you know, Lester Sumrall, he broke through a lot of barriers. He learned to fight the enemy in the field, so to speak. He learned to win, and he learned about his authority over the enemy while he was working in the Father's vineyard or the Father's field. Well, we're the church, we're the barley harvest. So he's working the barley harvest, and he went to the Philippines. And he ran into some evil spirits. See, wherever there's no gospel preached, things happen in other countries where the gospel hadn't reached good that don't happen around Christians. Because Christians will see it, and they'll read in the word and see how Jesus dealt with demons, and they'll start rebuking them. Some Christians will run and tell their pastor, and some pastors are bold. They'll go and rebuke that devil, in the end, see, that's the kind of stuff that will start a revival. People will see it, and it will alert them to something. And when they believe on Jesus, now they got a reference. And Satan don't want that. So he don't reveal himself, but so far, he does what he can get away with in every country. But it don't really matter what he tries. We have authority over him. We have full authority over him. We have the same authority that Jesus has. No less. And see, Satan don't want people to know that he's defeated. It don't really matter where you start. When a man like Lester Sumrall found out he had full authority over Satan, he went to town with it. I listened to it. I read his books. Listened to his, he made videos, and if somebody put him on YouTube, see, YouTube wasn't around when he was living. See, God thinks of everything, folks. Somebody may take what you do and put it on YouTube, and the whole world will learn what you're learning, what you said, what you've done. So you have to think ahead. Sometimes some people, they feel like their ministry is going nowhere. They don't bother to make recordings. They don't put it in a website. There's a lot of things they don't do. They don't give. You see, with God, there are no restrictions. A lot of ministries don't take advantage of the internet. They let the devil have it. Every sermon that you do should be on YouTube and the minute, whatever God guides you. Now, I got protocols. He never released me to put my stuff on YouTube yet. And I know why. I understand. Because we had a conversation. I would have done it a long time ago if he released me to do it. He told me to put it on this website. So what you have to do, when you follow God, he's got you. All you have to focus on is doing exactly what he say do, and keep your heart in it. But when people do something else, then something else happens other than what God would have done. Every time. See, I want to see people put their foot on Satan's head like they're supposed to. I want to see people go beyond the next level, so to speak. It's not necessary, to let the enemy win, ever. It's not ever necessary to let the enemy win. It's not ever necessary to stop. It's not ever necessary to lay down and just go to sleep when you should be enjoying the next step. See, sometimes people, they instead of trusting God, and I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes I call those kind of times, you know, it's a visitation is what it is. But one day you're going to have a visitation, and you're just going to have to make that Rebecca choice. It's going to stretch you. You're going to have to trust God and make your Rebecca choice. See, when Abraham's servant went to find a wife for Isaac, now he was a praying man. That's why Isaac chose her. And the man said, "What if the damsel don't want to return with me?" He said, "If she don't return with you, do not go back." And he had his orders. He had his protocol. So he went and he prayed. He said, "Lord, let the damsel that's supposed to go with me, bless her to offer me water and water for my camels." And she did, and gave, she watered the camels. Now, if you water some camels as much as they can drink, you know, you're in pretty good physical shape. And you're motivated. She was not lazy. So the father said she could go after the man told him that he was Abraham's servant. They all had great respect for Abraham. And they were prosperous as well because of Abraham. When Abraham left, they were, you know, when somebody like Abraham leaves, then you realize that he was right. Because people couldn't do what he did, but they remember how he lived, and they began to prosper as well. Now, I don't know how prosperous they were before he left, but see, when people see the light, they see things in a greater way. And being a man of a descendant of Abraham, they were already impressed. So that was good for the daughter. So he gave them gifts or whatever. But nevertheless, the Lord wasn't satisfied with that. He caused the daughter to have to decide whether she'd go or not, because God was after a person of faith. So for some reason, even though the father said she could go, The mother and the brother got involved and wanted her to wait 10 days. It seems to me they may have had second thoughts, and maybe over time we can keep our daughter here. I don't know. Speculation. But it came down, for whatever their reasons were and why, I don't know. You didn't hear anything else from from her dad. But it got down to the damsel. And it got down to the point, she was asked, "Will you go with this man?" And guess what she said? "I will go." Sometimes when you have a visitation, it's going to be now or never. And if you don't go when you're supposed to, if the Lord has been dealing with you and you don't trust him, that's going to be your stopping point. And I know people, I can hear you now. "Oh, no, God's the God of redemption." I'm going to tell you, I have witnessed enough stopping points in the lives of many pastors that I truly love and was blessed by, because they did not proceed with God's protocols. Now, you know, stopping points don't have to happen. When you have a visitation, you want to make the Rebecca choice. That's that choice of faith, when you really don't know what's next, but you trust the Lord and you go forward. Here's another example, Luke 18. This one, you know, it could have been a huge success story. But here we go. Luke 18:18. "And a certain ruler asked him, saying, 'Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God.'" See, sometimes people are assured of their goodness, but the goodness of God supersedes that. That's what Jesus was pointing out. You need to know, I'm born in a sinful world. I need a Savior. That's what the law is for. See, he was a ruler. "Good master, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" "You cannot work for this. It's a gift. Receive it. Nevertheless, Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Yes. You know, this tells a lot about a person, verse 21. And he said, all these things, all these have I kept from my youth up. Now, what Jesus is about to say gives us some clues about the fact that he was an honorable man. He didn't know everything. But here he walked up on a visitation, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Here's a good place for him to make his Rebecca choice. And if he did, we'd be reading about what happened afterwards. And this is why I say that. I say that because he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. And I also say it because of what Jesus says here. Now, when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. You remember in Revelation, that when he was addressed to the Laodicean church, he asked them to buy of him gold, tried in fire, that they'll be rich for real. They had possessions, but they weren't rich spiritually. And he said, distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. When the Lord told him to distribute, that means that he got his possessions honorably. So if he would have given to the poor, he would have had great treasure in heaven. Or he would have had treasure in heaven. And Jesus, and come and follow me. Now, what would have happened if he had faith at his visitation? If he had Rebecca faith at his visitation? He would have found out that as he gave, finances would have flowed into his life. And we would be studying. The world would be so much better off if it had that knowledge back then. A lot of people would have learned about the fact that you can't beat God giving. But a false doctrine arised out of the ashes of this failure because they think that God wants you to be poor. I've heard of preachers making a poverty vow. All kind of things that just didn't make sense. And then you got people that go overboard and try to become as wealthy as they possibly can without giving to the poor. See, he would have found something. He would have been blessed beyond measure. This happened to Peter. This happened to Paul. They as they kept receiving finances, they kept giving finances. Paul said, I know how to be abasing. I know how to abound. It never was, and it never became about the money with Paul. All right, now listen to this. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. He didn't trust God. He trusted, he believed God up to that point. See, when he walked away sorrowful, he also walked away from what all the adjustments Jesus would have helped him make, starting with this one. Jesus said, why do you call me good? Thou knowest none is good save one, that is God. So he got that. He heard that. Whether he was faithful after that, hopefully he was. Hopefully he at least got saved later on. I don't know. But he walked away very sorrowful. The beginning of depression starts with disobedience somewhere, or unfaithfulness to God somewhere, or sorrow, or disappointment. If he would have obeyed Jesus, he would have immediately had peace, because peace is in obedience. He may have been nervous, his mind may have been nervous, but from the inside, he would have begun to have peace, and you followed that peace. That's what I did. Now, I understand how this guy, I was this guy before myself. I said, Lord, I'll obey. I'll do whatever you say. Whether I like it or not, whether I love it or not, I'm going to obey you. I made that vow. Then when God told me to do things, I obeyed him, not because I trusted him, not because I didn't distrust him, but I was too chicken to do what I was supposed to do. But I did it because I made a vow, and I found out that if you trust God, you're going to win. And over the decades, it began to get better and better. So it came to the point I couldn't wait for God to give me an assignment or something new or the next step or the next glory. And when it happens, I jump on it. I don't want to miss any visitations no more than I already have. And I don't want to cause somebody else to miss their visitation. I want to speak. If there's a word that I'm supposed to give, I'm giving that word. And if I get chicken, I ask God to help me. See, you don't have to rely on your strength and your wisdom and your wit. I'm not embarrassed to say I was chicken, cowardly, or whatever. I was. But because of that vow, I prayed in the Holy Ghost and got over it. Got my mind right, got my heart built up. I built up my most holy faith. I quit being chicken. I quit being cowardly. I quit being afraid of man. I quit being afraid of failure. And I spoke what God gave me. And the peace of God remained on me, and the joy increased.